Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Pub Table Racer, show number 54. Show 54, where are you? Right here. My name's Tim.
I get that. Not everybody will get that.
That's in the old school.
You're dating yourself.
Sometimes it feels that way. Sometimes. Well. My name's Tim Packard. Sitting next to me is my esteemed friend, colleague, friend for over two decades.
Warren Brazell.
That was it. You caught it this time.
You're
waiting for your big build-up.
Well, you gave me the...
I gave you the ta-da. There you go. I learned that watching Bugs Bunny. Looney Tunes, you always did the thing.
You better hurry up because they're going to cancel all of that.
Oh, that's right. Can't be in certain things. Warren Brazell.
Yeah, go ahead. Poor guy stutters. We can't have him on.
Why do we have a bucket of Miller High Life in front of us?
This is what our show is about, drinking beer and talking about racing.
In no certain order, but yeah.
Right, and we have a bucket of Miller High Life because it's what we were weaned on, Bobby Allison's
our guy.
Beer of choice, okay. Our guy. Milwaukee product.
And it's tasty.
It's very tasty, right. And ice cold, baby.
Did we lose our beer sponsor with Frank Mathalia there?
I think we did.
Oh, okay, got it. So
we have to do a...
We are accepting beer sponsorship.
County Motors. And then maybe we'll get some more beer.
You know what we should do? We should go see them. That'd really irk them. Anyhow, tonight's show, we're going to talk about all the racing. Oh, I need a drink, otherwise.
Yeah.
We'll get mad.
Cheers.
Cheers again. Okay, got it.
All right.
And our nice koozie here that you can get on our website under our merchandise. Maybe there's a hat there. Maybe there's a t-shirt you like.
You know, some people ask me why I never use a koozie.
Yeah, why don't you ever use a koozie?
Because it never's going to get warm.
Exactly. Yep, all right. All right, here we go. Tonight's show. We'll talk about Las Vegas, the Truck Xfinity Cup race, and our guest tonight is the engine tuner extraordinaire from Team Penske, Darren Russell, and we have a new sponsor announced to kind of go together. We'll let him take care of that when he comes on. Let's go. Truck race, John Hunter Nemechek. We kind of knew he was going to win.
Yep.
But he wins this quick.
He's a good driver, got good equipment, and it shows.
So people might say, well, why do you go from Cup to Truck? Because he said it's about winning, and he knew probably his chances in Cup weren't that good. So this, I don't want to say justifies it, but it speaks why he can go to the Trucks and win races.
Well, he's going to showcase his talent there.
Right.
Which is going to open more doors for him.
We'll see.
And it's so far it's working.
That's it.
So far so good, John.
Congratulations. Xfinity race, the road course guy, AJ Allmendinger solidly pulls off the victory.
Yeah, he won last year, I believe,
at Atlanta.
Yes, correct. So you know he's got a lot of experience.
Yeah.
You know he's been on all these tracks. He knows what to do. He's trying to I won't say he's trying to rekindle. His career is rekindled, and he's now showcasing his talent and his
besides just on road courses.
Right.
So Matt Colleague Racing, he's made a big commitment this year, and he called up AJ and said, look, you just want to have fun? He goes, if I can have fun, I'll do it. So they're having fun.
Plus they get good equipment from RCR.
They do. That's it. So hats off to RCR and them.
Yes.
Cup race, Kyle Larson. You know, after what he went through last year, he comes back, fourth race out, in Hendrick equipment, the number five, brought it back. I think it was a Ricky Hendrick tribute scheme.
Scheme like that.
And so he went out there and he puts it in victory lane, and he put it solidly in victory lane.
Yeah, so 3 seconds ahead of our second place finisher, Brad Keselowski,
right. Okay.
And 6 seconds ahead of the third place car, which was the 18.
Right.
So
solid.
If Brad at the end of the race, he made a comment that not there, he's got the race, you know, in the bag. And that was cool.
I think the five's gonna be there a lot more. I think Kyle Larson got a taste of victory again.
I don't think you can count him out anywhere
no,
now.
No. So now we've had four races, four different winners, four playoff spots are taken, 12 to go.
Yeah.
And so now, we talked about this before the show, if you're a guy that raced your way in on points, your window's getting one less than.
Yeah, it's tightening up already.
Yeah. Keeps it interesting, I like it.
We got to get Darren on.
Yep.
Because he was there.
Right, we'll talk to him.
I think that was some really good racing.
I mean, all three states, something's going on, I don't know what it is, but it's good racing.
Good strategy and good, I think more of the crew chiefs and more of the teams are figuring out different stuff they need to do to stay up front and to lead these things.
And that's without practice or qualifying.
True.
All right.
And I love it.
All right, before we get started, we're going to, Dan, I'm going to talk about our great sponsors. We have, if we can do it without these people, we appreciate it so much. Let's start with behind you. Who do you have there, Warren?
We have RacingJunk.com.
This is his Vanna White moment. He does that.
Vanna turned me a letter.
Can I buy you a ball? Buy, sell, trade is their motto. Anything and everything you need. Vintage apparel. Hats, shirts.
Muffler bearings.
Muffler bearings. Blinker fluid.
Right.
Cars. Race cars. Classic cars. Shops. Motor coaches. They have it all. Go check them out. Array. And great articles on there, too. RacingJunk.com. We thank you. What was that?
Array? They have Array?
Array. Oh, yeah, they have Array, yeah. Like a ray of sunshine.
Oh, okay.
Well, we'll look that up later.
You know I'm picking.
I know you're picking. Yeah, I think there's a Bob and Steve that work there, too. Also, we'd like to thank Snarky Times on Aaron Brown.
Yeah.
The Garage Shop, their support is great, and we've kind of doing some cross-promotion with them. I started hosting the Garage Shop Insider every Monday night, 7 p.m. on YouTube. Follow along the stuff they're doing there, the car builds, the Daytonas, the Talladega cars.
Yeah, all the cool, it's just super cool stuff.
It's amazing what goes on. I won't say little, but it's not, shop in Denver, North Carolina. Our friend Brad. Brad's our number one advertiser, first one to come on board. Lake Norman Patio and Game Rooms. Folks, if you're in the Lake Norman area, spring's coming, warm weather, you're looking out there going, oh my God, my stuff looks like crap.
Yeah, my patio furniture.
It was terrible.
I'm taking it to the
store. Awful.
I'm going by Brad. I'm getting a whole new set.
Go to Brad.
Go to Brad.
What did you get? What did you got? You got your Adirondack chairs, high and low.
Yep.
Your tables. Your
high top tables, low top tables, whatever you need, outdoor, pool stuff,
signs for the wall. Yep, for your artwork, signed guitars.
Yeah.
Some sports memorabilia downstairs, plus game rooms.
Shuffleboard,
tabletop, everything. Food. Just go. Raleigh School Road.
Foosball.
Foosball. You love saying that.
I know I do. I see
it. Every time. And go check them out. Go tell them the Pub Table Racer sent you. You get a discount. It's on Raleigh School Road near Canvas and Oak. And go check them out. Go see Brad or JoJo. They got what you need for your outdoor furniture. We have a new sponsor. We welcome them on board tonight. Rapid Removal. 20-yard container. You know, I could talk about it, or I could have the owner talk about it.
I think he's
And wonderful. What a coincidence. It's great that he's also our guest.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Team Penske, the engine tuner extraordinaire, 22 years in the business. He's worked for Robert Yates Racing, Everham, Darren Russell. Come on, Darren.
Come on in, Darren.
We got it.
Oh, yeah. Nice
so
to see you,
Warren. Warren and Darren worked together at Team Penske, and this is the first time you guys seen each other.
In about a year.
Split shifts. Wow.
Yeah.
Very good. Before we get started, could we interest you in a
top shelf?
It is the champagne. You should get yourself one there.
He gave a little roll again.
Oh, yeah.
They're good.
That is first it's professional stuff.
Right. Right there.
Chris, thanks for being on.
Cheers.
There you go. All right, before we get started, we are going to do the sponsor part. Talk to me about Rapid Removal.
What exactly is it?
Business started for a year now.
Yep, had it for a year. It's been a great business for us. Great employee, was in the Army for 5.5 years. He kind of holds up the
what's his name?
Jason Murphy.
Okay, good.
Yep.
The vets?
Yep, good. Yep. They're 20-yard trailers. They're all tires, so we're in and out. We can get in tight spots. We don't tear up any driveways, and we like to live up to our name, Rapid Removal. So when you call us, we'll be there in no time, and when you call us to empty it, we'll be there in same amount.
So it's like if construction...
Yeah, mostly construction debris.
Okay.
So if you have anything for an add-on, house remodel, building a house, anything construction debris, we'll take care of you.
What about a land clearing removal? Any of that? Did you do any?
We can do some of that. We haven't really got into it too much.
Gotcha.
But we it's something that we want to expand into. Okay. So we're always open for any kind of business that you.
Right. Rapid removal.
How do we get in touch with you, Darren?
704
704-507-7833. So he works in the industry, and you serve where? Lake Norman, Gastonia, Charlotte?
Yeah, we're all over. We're to Statesville, Gastonia, Canapa.
Wow.
We're a fairly good radius around the Charlotte area.
And with 55 containers, you can take care of them.
We do. We do. Right. We have quite a bit.
Well, thank you for coming on board. We appreciate the support.
Yeah, thanks for being here tonight. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's the
miss you, brother.
Commercial stuff. Yeah, that's right. So, first of all, okay, engine tuner. Tell us about your take on the racing this weekend in Las Vegas.
I think it was great. A lot of three wide racing, a lot of searching. Our spotter Coleman Presley.
First of all, tell him which car you work on.
Two car, Brad Keselowski.
Okay.
We had a great race, and Coleman Presley,
former son, driver. Yep.
Yep. Son of Robert Presley. Mm-hmm. He is amazing on the tower, looking down, eyes up above. He was trying to tell Brad, because a lot of times, beginning of the race, there wasn't much rubber up top. Right. So as he slowly started running up top, build a little bit of rubber, the fast line was up top, and then it would change all race. And he was telling Brad, hey, more people are running down low, they're faster down low, try that. So we'd run down low a little bit and then start edging our way back up. But a lot of three wide racing. The long run at the very end was a lot of searching because it seemed like the rubber built up top, started getting a little bit slick. Car was a little bit on the loose side, so we had to tighten it up a little. But it was a fine line.
So at that place, track position still king?
It was, yeah.
Let's say top 10,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. It was, but I tell you what, Brad came into pit when there was, I can't remember, it was before all the long runs. And I think the other cars only had like 8 laps on their tires.
Okay.
And he pit and he started 17th and just drove his way right off the front.
We didn't think
tires was going to be that big of an issue.
There, especially.
7 laps.
Yeah.
But he went around the outside, zigzagging in, had a run off the corner and would just pass him. And before you know it, he was back in third. And then tried to get in front of the next person. It took a little bit, but the spotters.
I mean, he's pretty good.
Oh, he's he's one of the best.
Yeah.
He
is. He's a champion, you know.
Yeah.
Before we go on, Dennis Russell.
Yeah, that's my dad.
Your dad, he says, so proud of our son. William Francis, cheers from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Tom Beatty, our number one fan. Yeah. No Dale or Rusty poster night. Nope, we decided to change it up a little bit tonight. Ian Moy from Penske, the PR guy.
Yep. He says public relations.
Aaron, so big time. Hey, Ian, anytime you want to come on, Ian, you're more than welcome.
I talked to Ian about coming on.
That's right. Alexander, your wife, Ryder, and Lily, say hi to Eddie.
I have to say hi to Cash. My nephew Cash and my son Ryder, daughter Lily.
Okay.
I know they're all watching.
Good.
Good.
Yeah.
And Maria Falduti Turner.
Yep, that's mother in law.
There you go. Yeah. So Darren takes pride in his work, rapid removal. Hey, you got your own PR person right there. and your mother in law likes you. That's pretty good.
There you go. That is a good thing.
Wait a minute. KB Belmont.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Yeah, that's right.
Who is it?
Kyle Belmont. Andy Belmont's son.
Yeah. Okay, got it. Yeah. He says, Darren needs one of those trailers for the amount of food he brings to the shop.
I'm actually hooked up to one outside right now to carry all these boxes.
That's awesome. Dan Lynch says, hello guy right there. Worked with you for 13 years.
Yep.
He'll do anything for you. By the way, Warren, he's not just a turner, he's a roofer. A tuner, he's a roofer.
Right. There's a lot of us that do everything from the roof down. Dan Lynch is a roofer also.
Yep.
Okay,
Dan's going to be on our show one night.
Hey, we got room. I mean, people want to come on. We're good. Ken Pajar?
Cheers, buddy. Yep, okay. He actually built my house.
Okay, there you go.
Yep.
William Francis, he's obviously been drinking. He's had solid crew tonight. All three of them.
Okay.
So William Francis is our buddy who he's actually been in the sport. And he's a law enforcement officer.
Okay, good. Thanks for you and all you do.
He's a really awesome dude.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Michelle Lynn, his nephew's from Massachusetts.
Yeah,
so you're originally from?
Massachusetts.
Okay, so we'll get through all this. Greetings from Phoenix. Pops is watching you, son, Andy Belmont. Oh, Andy's watching his kids.
Yeah.
Making a smart ass. Andy, take care of that kid, okay?
Hey, Pops.
All right, so let's go back to the beginning. So you're from Massachusetts.
Yep.
What part?
Western Mass near UMass and Amherst at Sunderland, Massachusetts.
So where does the interest in racing come in?
My brother bought a car when he got his license, needed some work done to it. So a neighbor up the road told us to go to this one shop in town, and they happened to have a late model race car there. I was 14 at the time and was just completely infatuated with it.
Yeah.
So they asked me, they said, do you want to come work on the car? And I started working on it. My parents had dropped me off after school and weekends and all. I started working on it. Then slowly the rest of my family started working on it, and before you know it, the whole family was, and we just got to be good friends with everybody.
Right. What did they let you do when you were 14 on the car? I always got to ask, because I'm sure it wasn't a whole
lot. I was mechanically inclined. I went to a technical high school, so I was mechanically inclined. Okay. So I did quite a bit. It was, anything and everything.
I got to say this, because again, we have fans that ask, how do I get to do this stuff? And, you know, here we are. Darren was 14, and he started working on race cars for free.
For free, yeah.
For free. Yeah. You're volunteering your time because you love what you're doing. You wanted to do it.
Yeah.
You wanted to help out in any way you could. And this is how you got to start. This is how you start. You got to get in there, and you got to find someone and do it for free. And that's how I did it. Most everybody did.
90% of the people, I would say, started in short track racing, working for free, just helping out, doing what they can, just being a go-getter.
Real quick, I just have an idea. And you folks let us know. We always talk about how people get into racing. If we did a show, like a one-off on a Saturday, like maybe 20, 30 minutes, how to get into racing, would you guys like to tune that in where we could share our experience and give our advice? Because that's the number one thing we'd ask. So just a thought I just had, we could do a show some Saturday.
And I'd love to do it. Obviously, KB Belmont, Kyle Belmont,
right.
He was born into it because his dad, so he can't, he probably got to, he probably had to wax cars for a long time.
Yeah, I tell you what, he started at the bottom, even though he was the owner.
I know, I'm busting on him a little bit.
He cleaned many of floors, I guarantee you that.
I know he's listening, that's why I said that.
So I told you, who's Robert Benfield?
He works at a shop.
He does
race.
He said, looks, it's Dirks.
Yeah.
He's just a Dirks Bentley reference, right? Yeah, I kind of caught that. Jason Murphy, is that your employee?
Yes.
Veteran, thanks for your service. Rapid Removal lives up to its name, best boss ever. Don't worry, kid, you got the job. Come report tomorrow. Jesse Gottlieb says, what's up, Darren?
Yeah, Jesse's okay, up perfect. He brings us some seafood up in Dover Race.
Perfect. It's up there. Yeah. Okay, so you started out in the short tracks, and then from there progressed to?
So I went to technical college, Nashville Auto Diesel College,
Warren just said quiet, I might be a two-bucket night. It's been a while, but all right.
So I went to college after I graduated high school, went to college, technical college, and knew that I wanted to get into the highest level of Cup Series.
So when you were going to school, did you tell them what you wanted to do? Like, this was my goal?
Not really. Okay. It was just more mechanics, but they did start a high performance class. I was the second class that went through it. So you had to choose either fabrication or engine, and I chose engine. They had a full, we ported, polished, we did kind of a lot of stuff that I was never really able to do, doing the short track stuff. Yeah, I helped assemble the engine, but it was mostly just pulling heads off and putting them back together. But as far as the high performance class, that was a good introductory to something like kind of what I do now.
Okay.
And then when I graduated, went over to North Carolina, didn't know anybody. We actually came over here Thanksgiving, so I still had another month and a half of college.
Right. It's your senior year.
Yep. And I had my roommate and I had a stack of resumes.
Thanksgiving. Stop. Hang on a second. So you're in Mass, you graduate, and you decided I'm going to North Carolina.
So after I graduated high school, it was college in Nashville. And then after
to Nashville Diesel.
Oh, that's what you said. Okay.
So you actually have worked with like Mikey Rout. With that was a school in Nashville. It might have been different because because he was a fab.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a high. Was it the racing school in Nashville?
No. So it's half. Well, you can either do a auto body part of it,
right?
Fabrication, that kind of stuff, or you can do the mechanic side.
So you did that in Nashville.
So I did half the year. It was 6 months diesel, and then six months automotive.
Okay, good.
Yep. And then I did the 3 months of the high performance class after that
in Nashville.
In Nashville.
Okay.
Yep. And it was kind of an add-on.
And did they get you some contacts for here or
not really? Waddell Wilson actually went to the Nashville Auto Diesel College.
Okay.
Kind of way back in the day, but they didn't really have too many contacts. They had more contacts as far as going into the industry of Thermo King or dealerships, right, that kind of stuff. That
was this is going to take a while, so we won't spend too much time on it, but how did you get from there to here? What was your... Did you just show up here?
Why?
So my roommate and I, we knew that we wanted to get into the highest level of racing that we could get into,
which was NASCAR.
And we knew that you had to be in this area.
You had to be here,
which we both know.
Yeah. So when I was still going to college, Thanksgiving week we had off, and my roommate and I drove over here with a stack of resumes. And Thanksgiving week back in the day, when you had 100 employees, they just closed down the shop. There was nobody working.
Right,
right.
And it's just how it was. It wasn't the 300, 400 employees that they have now. It was 100 employees.
Right.
They just shut down.
The season was over.
Yes. The last race of the season was the weekend before in Atlanta, actually. And then they just closed down for the week. You start back after the Monday after Thanksgiving. So my roommate and I, the biggest thing was to get over here, find a place to live, get to know the area a little bit, and then go bounce around to all the different shops. Well, doors were locked, chained, nobody home, lights off.
And this is Mooresville you came to?
Mooresville, I'd say 90% of the shops were here in Mooresville at that time.
So that's where they came here.
Lakeside Park, I mean, you could bust down 20 doors.
And you're talking 20 years ago, so you couldn't go online.
What year was this about, Darren?
2000. Well, it was the end of 99.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were already here.
I was here.
I was here for a year and gone in 98. 99 Buffalo, then came back in 2000. We were talking the other day. But so you, what was your disappointment? You got here, some damn room was closed.
It was a bummer. I mean, we were so bummed out.
Right.
So we kept on bouncing around, and we stopped at this one shop, and there was a guy working on an outside door because one of the employees had picked around the lock because he forgot his key at home. He picked around the lock. So this guy was putting mud on it, and fixing the wood and everything. And we talked to him, I guarantee, for a half an hour, and I thought he was the janitor. So we talked to him for a while. He finished what he was doing, invited us in, and that's when he told us that he ran the engine shop for Robert Yates Racing.
Okay, and who was that?
Who was that?
Mike Egg.
Okay. Oh,
okay, good.
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you think it's...
I thought he was a janitor.
Perfect.
And
he would happen to be a roofer.
Yeah, he's a roofer. Exactly.
So he invited us in, told us who he was. He ran the shop, and I think it was a little bit more of a test on finding out who we were and our ability to converse with anybody and figuring out kind of how we were. Invited us in, liked us, myself especially, and he gave me his number. He told me, he said, I really like to have you here.
Wow.
I don't have a position for you,
right,
but when you go back to college, because I still had a month and a half left, he said, just keep calling. It's going to sound like I'm putting you off, and I probably am, but at least I'll be right. You'll be right here in the back of my head.
And personality means a lot when you come down.
Sure, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Don't talk.
Yeah.
We're on a race team. I'm going to be a crew chief. Yeah. You know what I mean? That doesn't fly. You got to be.
Yeah. And like this, the first question he asked is like, what do you want to do? And most people would be like, I want to be a driver. I want to be a crew chief.
Right.
Well, you know, you're not going to just get into that position. It's going to take your whole career to do that.
And well, Richard Childress, when he interviewed Warren, he asked him one question.
He said, what do you want to do? I said, I want to win races and I want to win championships.
That's it.
And he told Mike Dillon, he says, hire that guy.
Right.
Yeah, that's basically how it was.
I mean, if you say the right stuff to those people, they get it.
Yeah, I wanted to come in, use my ability, learn as much as I can, and work my way up to the top and win races. And that's how it was, and he liked it. So when I went back to college, I called him 3 times a week. Kept on calling. Half the time he'd answer, half the time he wouldn't.
Yeah.
So I got to the point where I was graduating.
Sure.
My roommate was from Georgia, so we moved all our stuff down to his parents' house.
Who's your roommate?
Guy Huell.
Okay.
He was in racing for a while and then ended up moving back home.
Okay.
Great guy. So we moved all our stuff to Georgia, came back up here, touched base, and then I went home to Massachusetts for Christmas. He went back to Georgia, and it was, I think, day after Christmas, Mike Agee called me. He said, hey, when are you going to be back in town? I think I have an opening for you.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
He's like, no.
Hang
out with your family. Enjoy your time. I'm like, don't come right now.
How late are you staying up?
Yeah. Calm down, I'm going. All right, be safe.
That's good.
So,
what does your couch look like?
Got an extra room? That's how serious. Yeah. I'm sure there's probably been a lot of those, too. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But ended up moving down, got our stuff from Georgia, moved up, got an apartment, started working.
That's awesome.
And I started in the cylinder head department, which is mid-level, kind of in the shop. Yeah. And our teardown department was outdoors. There was no AC. It was hot. It was humid. It was okay,
so real quick, so people don't know, teardown consists of?
Teardown is getting an engine back, tearing the whole,
after a race,
completely tearing the whole thing down, putting everything on shelves, cleaning all the parts, distributing them to what part of the shop they need to go. It's kind of a start-out position for a lot of places.
Right.
And I told Mike that I really wanted to travel, and I wanted to go to teardown. He's like, go to teardown? He's like, you're already in the shop. You're in AC. You're in the middle of the rack right here. Why do you want to start at the bottom or go back to the bottom? I said, well, if I'm going to tune on them, I got to learn how to tear them apart, and I want to know everything about this engine. And he looked, and he's like, oh, I can't fault you for that. He's like, yeah, awesome. So went out there and
said, Hunter's brother, you're so stupid.
You didn't want to grind on cylinder heads for the rest of your life.
I was a go-getter. I wanted to do everything that I possibly could do.
What's up, Bender?
And so I went to teardown, and a lot of that ability to do cam break-in helped me as a tuner at the racetrack when we changed valve springs.
Yeah.
I bet you we changed thousands of valve springs doing cam break-in, because you basically put an engine together with cam, push rods, springs, everything, and it turns it with an electric motor behind it, and it breaks in a cam, matches your lifters to your cam, and you pull it out, and then you can put it in the engine, because you don't want to start with anything fresh, because you could score or something like that, so you want to wear it in together.
They wear the cam lobe and the lifter wear together.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of like a bearing in a race. Mm-hmm. You got to put those two together. Once they run together, they're married.
Yeah.
So
just my family and friends back there, out there, I understood everything he was just talking about. Just so you know, they think I know. I understood everything and comprehended everything he just said. So y'all take that, okay?
Go ahead. So I was in the cylinder head department for 3 months, teardown for 3 months, and then finally they had an opening on the road.
Right.
And they called me in from outside in teardown, and they said, hey, do you want to go this weekend? I was like, yeah, absolutely. They said, go home.
My bag's in the car.
Yeah, no, seriously, I live like 5 minutes from the shop. They said, go home, the truck's leaving in 30 minutes. So I had to ride in the truck with the truck driver to the first two races.
Where'd you go? Where was it?
It was Watkins Glen in Indy.
Not bad.
Yeah, so it wasn't across the country, but it was
still 14 and 10.
Yeah,
yeah. But they knew. I mean, I would do it, and that's what I had to do to be able to get into the position that I needed to be in. I worked 7 days a week. Basically, they said you have responsibilities in the shop. So if you're going to travel, you're going to be racing Sunday. You're going to be back here 7 o'clock Monday morning, and I was.
How old were you at that time?
I was 19.
You didn't care.
Didn't care.
Awesome.
No.
Hey, C Cat, what's up? How you doing? And my mother just said, "Never mind."
What
she said.
Thanks, Mom. What did she say? You needed to shave or something?
She said, "This is my mother, who her dog put her dog down today." So God bless her.
Sorry.
Yeah. Colleague. Sorry. My mother said, "This is love." You really only understood the word Mary, ha ha ha. Well, Mom, you would know, Mom.
So I want to tell everybody now, real quick, that, you know, so Darren and I have worked together for the last 4 years when I was traveling, and you know, I'm being a fabricator, he's an engine tuner, and we used to, when we had practice qualifying and happy hour, Darren would have to change valve springs, and now you don't.
No, very rarely. We did in Daytona.
Oh, you did? Because you had time, right?
Yeah, we had time. We had a race, the 150s or whatever they call it now, and then the 500.
So Darren's the guy that says, hey, I got to change valve springs. Don't grind on anything. I got the valve covers
off. Oh, yeah, okay.
You can't do your job. Let me get the valve covers back on. So, you know, what us fab guys do is we usually go around to the, you know, I was working on 3 or 4 cars. You go to the next car and say, you got your valve covers on yet? No, big marks. No, I got mine off. So we got to wait until these guys are done, because we're making a mess.
Yep.
These guys are working on this engine that's precision. Yep. They don't need our junk, our Bondo dust or our grinding sparks going in their water heaters, their engines.
Engines, right.
So, but no, we always got along good, but people don't understand. Like you say, you guys, I mean, and for a long time, you always change valve springs.
It was pretty much every weekend.
And there's, thousands.
When we started going to the same engine every weekend,
yeah,
that's when we started changing valve springs.
And you were probably,
yeah. I mean, it's a big deal.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, I remember second day qualifying, yeah, practice engine, yeah, qualifying engine.
Oh, yeah, he was involved in all of that.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there was engines like... Yeah,
and really,
on a car.
All the driver had to say was, I really just don't like this engine. Walk it out.
You guys are right.
But we had it down. We could change an engine from start to stop in about 20, I think our fastest was maybe 22 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was going to say 30 minutes, 22, that's really
it
good.
Would be, it's a lot more now with the fuel injection and all the different electronic components and everything. Before, it was very easy. I mean, it was just your oil lines, your fuel lines.
Are you involved? I got a weld. Yeah. No!
So when you were at Yates, the drivers there were?
Ricky Rudd,
yep,
and Dale Jarrett.
What were those guys like to work with?
They were good. I mean, they were just top notch. Everybody was top notch. I mean, Robert Yates Racing, basically gave you an engine and then you built a car around an engine. He was an engine guy.
Right.
I mean, the guy was just phenomenal. They always had the best power. We did a lot of cool stuff, R&D. It was nice working after hours, like 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Most people would leave, and that's when we go into the dyno cell and start working on all these components that were all R&D and all that.
And you've
that,
been
so.
With him for how long? I mean, most of your career, right?
Well, I worked for Robert Yates Racing from 2000 to end of 2003, and then was at Everingham from 2004 and 5, and then at Penske 2006 until now.
Wow.
But then we ended up shutting our engine shop down forming an alliance with the Yates shop, so I was kind of back with Doug Yates at that time when he took everything over.
Biggest thing you learned from Robert Yates? Biggest thing you took away from your time with him?
Man, the guy was just a phenomenal guy. It was all about power. I mean, just power. What can we do to gain power? And actually, I got to tell a story because
Jeff Clark maybe told him, but go ahead.
When I was in the cylinder head department, I was supposed to do a finish cut, 5 thou, just skim it. And I don't know what I did, but I took 50 thou off. And when it started, chips started coming off, I was like, oh dear, I'm sweating.
We're going to need a bigger gas.
Explain what you did.
You're decking ahead.
Yeah,
so
our compression is higher.
Right.
We have to go back in there and we have to grind some of the chamber out so it can get our compression level. Everything can match equal and everything. So when we went back in there and ground some out of the chamber to get our volume back, we picked up 15 horsepower like that.
So your mistake.
My mistake was
big.
It had everybody scratching their heads. They were like, digitize that head. Darren, what do you want to work on next? You want to work on the blog pistons?
Oh my God.
Here's an ad.
Oh, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
So for layman's terms real quick, what we're going to say is Darren had the machine off the deck of a head,
right,
off a cylinder head.
Right.
He was supposed to only take 5 thou off. He took 50 off.
Ooh.
So then he had to go back in there with a Dremel
basically a Dremel tool with
and open up the each chamber,
okay,
each cylinder chamber to get it so the volume was right.
Got it.
And when you did that, you picked up 15.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, we ended up digitizing our heads and making most of them look like that.
Nice.
It was a good pat on the back, but I was embarrassed completely. Still am,
we got some accolades coming. Pete Troutman, official for
Pete. Pete Noonan.
He says, Darren is one of the nicest guys in the garage. It was always great to work with him.
Yeah, Pete's awesome.
Walter McCarty.
Yeah, Walter.
Okay.
He worked at
Wally McCarty and Cole.
There you go.
Yeah.
This is good. He says, Darren is a great example of a person who followed his dream. He would not let anything get in his way. The guy who gave Darren his big break, Mike Eggy, is now my hero, as he did, and he's happy to call you a friend. There you go.
Yeah,
awesome.
And Jake Comar says, hey, guys.
Hey, Jake, how you doing,
that's
buddy?
That's your cousin, right?
Yeah,
that's Mr. Rockstar. Perfect. Okay, so
Darren was also in the Shark Lounge one night.
What?
He's got this nasty scar.
Does he really? I don't know. And the shark lounge?
If you ever see Darren in person, ask him to show you his scar from the shark lounge. He got bit by a shark in the lounge.
Okay. All
right. A lot of people may have gotten bit by the shark in
the lounge. Back when he was young. That long, long time ago.
We're not going to go into the shark lounge. You can look that up.
We
got
to bring it up.
I understand, but we can let people
They're
know.
They're closed. It's like
yeah.
a...
Yeah,
it's
just
been a national landmark.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so you go from Yates and then you go to Emory. Who are you working with there?
Tuned on NYCAR with Casey Kane, which I knew Casey back when he started with the channel lock car with Ford. They put him in a Busch car with Robert Yates Racing. So I knew Casey because I kind of helped out on that car. And then when I got back with him on the 9 car, it was like two peas in a pod. We were just... picked up where we left off.
How did the change come about? Like, how did you go from Yates? Did you call them? They called you? Did you happen to have a conversation over a stack of tires?
Yeah, just wanted to kind of move on, and it just worked out to where they needed someone for the 9 car.
Try something different.
Talking to one of the guys in the 9 car, and ended up going to do that. So they worked out.
Who's crew chief? Kenny?
Tommy Baldwin.
Tommy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So. Yeah. Alexander, your wife says, "Let's hear that story about the shark."
Well, let me explain it for you.
She
knows it wasn't a shark.
Michelle Lynn says, "Yeah, let's hear this story."
And Wally, I'm gonna get a ride out of here, man.
Wally McCarty says, "Don't be talking about the shark." So, people that know, we're not gonna go into the details, but if you had a wad of $1 bills, you are a hero in that place. Is that safe to say?
Yeah.
There you go. That's in Daytona. All right, so
it's a college young ladies that are trying to make their way through college.
Exactly.
They're
exactly.
entertaining. Them.
Yes, exactly. That's it.
A lot of high heels.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
Quite
a lot.
Someone made that young lady.
Let's go to the next song, okay? Before we all get in trouble. Things are going so well.
It's a fun show.
I know. It's great. It's part of racing. Ricky Rudd, working with him, kind of a quiet guy, but you have a good story, remember him? Like, one time that he just, like, surprised you, or?
No, not really. Okay. I was kind of bouncing around a little bit between the cars, just kind of helping out. Frankie Good was
Frankie
actually
Good.
Tuning on the 28, and Chris Morocco was on 88, so I was just more kind of helping out while I was kind of in between when Kmart shut down, and I was with Todd Bodine, before I started on the 57 Busch car with Jason Keller, I was kind of just helping a lot of people out. So they were class acts. I mean, it was so many times that I can count that the 88-28 finished 1-2.
An amazing finish.
It was amazing. They were just powerhouse.
And you never took those races for granted.
No.
You always like, okay, that was good. We got another one to go.
Remember your first win?
Yeah, what was your first win?
First win was on the Busch car with Jason Keller, Talladega.
Nice.
First win with the Cup car was on the 9 car at Richmond with Casey.
All right. Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah. And won a bunch with Jason Keller.
Yeah. Talk about your Jason Keller stuff, because that's a pretty good highlight for you.
Yeah. Yeah. We won, we got a lot of poles. We won a lot of races. And that was a time when Jeff Green was in the 10 car, and then Scott Riggs took over in the 10 car.
Yeah, racing at Kyle Kelly.
Yeah, Kyle Kelly was
and Harold and all that boys, because that thing was badass.
Oh, it was, it was. I mean, it was a lot of 1-2 finishes with us in the 10 car.
Mm-hmm.
It was unbelievable. Awesome. We had a great time.
How close were you to championship that year? Did you
finish second to Greg Biffle? I think it was, it was very close.
Second,
we won. I want to say it was like 7-8 races.
Unheard of nowadays.
Yeah.
So in Victory Lane, you did the photos and all that.
Yeah.
What is it? Did you like? I always got a hat. I got a hat and I had them signed, and I kept it. I still have a bin full of them.
I do.
I would get one when I send it to my dad in Buffalo. So he would be there 2 days. So by Wednesday, he's wearing the Victory Lane hat.
Yeah.
In Akron, New York, and everyone thought it was really cool. Did you have something? Warren, this is exactly. Warren uses on the short excuse. So he uses the midget handicap. So he sits up front and you still only see a multi flag.
I can't say midget. You got to say short.
Oh, short. I'm sorry, short.
So yeah,
politically correct. Right,
sorry about that.
I'm vertically challenged.
The one. It was sponsored by Busch Beer.
Right.
Sponsored by Busch Beer, so they always around and give you cases of beer right when you show up at the racetrack
because you needed it.
And then in Victory Lane, we I mean, we had cases and cases of Busch beer right. in Victory Lane. And the one that stuck out in my mind the most, the best win was Milwaukee. And they handed out, I think it was, we had at least like 3 cases of beer in Victory Lane.
Victory Lane alone.
Yeah. And Jason took so long, we won in Milwaukee, he took so long to get to Victory Lane. By the time he got to Victory Lane, there was no beer to spray. It was just empty cans.
You're in Milwaukee. Just, that's what you do.
We looked right, it
just
up.
Just because it was so long to get there, or just the drive, or just...
I mean, we had a good Thursday. It was a hot day. It was very hot day. You got a hot day.
Yeah, it's very hot in Milwaukee in July.
It is. How a place can be so cold in winter and so hot in the summer is just beyond me.
That's why I don't live there.
There's only one race track. Well, that's good you have those memories.
We don't go there anymore. Well, we go to Road America now.
Yeah.
Okay. Your wife says, yep, trust me, I know the Shark Lab. So we don't need to tell the story. Thank you.
You got a beautiful house.
Your mother-in-law says you have a million hats.
I do have a million hats.
Jack Ely says, do you ever work with Derek Peacock at Penske?
Derek Peacock.
Guess not. Okay, moving along.
Name sounds familiar, but I'm horrible at names.
We're not going to say that, Wally, just so you know. People can read it. She made a comment about the beer. All right, so now you're with Everham.
We're at Keystone.
We should
be drinking Keystone.
There goes Penske. Yeah,
that's true. It's in the Miller family.
It is
in the family.
Miller Coors.
Same. It comes out of the same area.
Yep. Keystone. Yep. Smooth.
Couple stones.
Yeah.
Enjoy a couple stones after the race.
I did see that. There's cases of beer going on in trucks. Keystone Light.
Yep. Yeah.
And you're crying because you're not going.
No, I'm not.
Free beer. I get it.
I am crying that I don't go to a racetrack anymore. I hate it.
Trust me, we all do.
I do feel bad for the guys that aren't traveling because they limit us on the amount of people that they take.
Yeah.
Out. And people that have traveled like me 20-something years and now all of a sudden just comes to an abrupt halt because they're not allowing that many people go to the track. It's kind of heartbreaking for a lot of them.
We don't, you know, the guys that love the sport, Jones sport, some of the guys are like, I ain't traveling. I would never go. I don't want to go. And like, I kind of Jones sport. It's kind of like...
Someone called and says, hey, can you make it this weekend and fill in? Yeah, I'll be right there.
Greg Irwin called me today. Right. Do you have a license? I said, no. He's like, why don't you have a license?
To get the track.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't know what happened there, but right. I think he wanted me to go. Maybe someone couldn't make it. I don't know.
So apparently KB Belmont, I don't know if this guy's got a... He says, Darren calls all his friends buddy. Especially if he's worked on this. three other people laughed along with him. So,
buddy. He knows when I call him and I start out saying, buddy. No, click.
But at least they know. All right.
I'll have a Ford 9-inch rear end tied on his back up a flight of stairs.
Right.
But he's awesome. He'll do it. Whatever.
So now you go to Penske.
Yep.
Right.
Penske and then... started with Kurt Busch there, worked with Kurt for 6 years that he was there. And
what was he like? I mean, you worked with him for 6 years. I mean, we know
we don't have to get into that.
There's a part of him that is such a damn good racer, and there's a part of him that he would get away from the racer part, and that's the part people remember.
Yeah,
because now he's in a much better place.
There's Kurt and there's Sybil.
Right. Well, yeah, there's Kurt. But
I mean, we all heard him on the radio.
Yeah, where he is now, though. Yeah.
We all know that he's like that because he wants to be number one.
Right. And getting to know him outside of the racetrack really helped understand how he is how hard he races and how hard he wants it. I mean, at first, I wanted to get myself into because all I knew was what I heard on the radio on the weekend. I'm like, whew, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do this.
But then
hanging out with him and going golfing and going to sand dunes and doing a lot of stuff, you kind of realize you're like, this guy is cool.
Right.
I mean, he is like, he's one of us. I mean, and he was. I mean, he meshed with us. So when he gets upset at a racetrack and something's not going his way and that's what everybody else hears, I mean, it was kind of water off our duck's back for us because we knew how hard he wanted it, how hard he worked for it, and how passionate he was. Yeah, passion.
Right.
That's a just good way to explain it. Right. Yeah. But a phenomenal guy.
All right, so then you worked, who else did you work with at Penske? I mean, you went through probably.
Yeah, there's been, I mean, it's like especially on the 12 car. Yep, worked with AJ for that.
He had a lot of fun.
Yeah, he was. He was a good dude. Good dude. Hard racer. Great guy. And then just with the guys in the 12 car between Stremme, Ryan Newman,
did you have Sam
Hornish? Sam Hornish, another phenomenal guy. They all were great.
Did you do the 21 with Blaney?
Or? I did. Okay, so that was another.
Because you moved the 21, all the 21 went to the 12.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
When I got there in the first.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was on the 21. Went with Ryan with the 21 car. And working with the Wood Brothers, I mean, you can't even describe
you
it.
You got to do some.
And Ryan's awesome. That whole deal. That whole Wood Brothers thing and Ryan, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Where did Matty D finish this weekend? Here's Ron.
So he had a gun failure.
Oh, okay, got it.
And I think the left front or the right front.
Okay.
He had on for 100 laps because they couldn't change the tire.
All right.
It was a bad. It was.
He was top 10 in there. Right.
Yeah. He got it was a little mishap. Okay. Not of his doing.
No.
He was good at finishing it. Yeah. We were going to have four cars in the top 10, no problem.
Yeah.
Right. Ian from Moy from Penske says nothing better than a buffalo chicken calzone from Antonio's in Whitehaven.
Oh, gosh, man.
Where's this?
Garen's also a food connoisseur.
Garen always makes race weekends a ton of fun. What do you mean he makes cheat sheet?
Yeah, well, we were talking, and everybody's like, oh, what are you going to talk about today? I was like, I don't know. Maybe
you got some food stuff you want to talk about?
Food.
Pulling money out here.
Garen loves food.
Oh, my gosh. What do you have there?
I love to eat.
So what's this?
Favorite place to eat.
This is something. Oh, here we go. No guest has ever done this. This is inside info. These are the favorite places to eat on the road, according to Darren Russell. Go for it.
Okay.
And I'm not all. I mean, I love a good steakhouse, but I'm more of the hole in the wall places. More the places that I go to all the time. Every time I land,
right.
I don't go to Michael's in Vegas every time I land because you're going to spend $1,000.
Yeah, we can't do
yourself.
It.
Right. I can't afford
this
it.
This is for the guys who can.
Yes.
This is for us laymen's.
Sure. Yes. So Daytona, famous Phillies. The best cheesesteak you'll ever have.
Never had it. Just heard about it the first time this
thing. Very good. I love them.
The one down in, not Port Orange, but during the hurricane, it actually blew the place away.
Right. Famous Philly
they just famed, opened another one back up by the race.
Probably running old Rob Lopes there.
Yeah.
Another one we got to have.
Vegas, Bruxy, chicken and waffle sandwich
to
die for.
Okay.
Best thing ever. Homestead Fish House, great fish.
Yes, oh my God.
Is that the one outside the track?
No, it's down
Key Largo.
Key Largo.
Why aren't we talking about?
Yep.
I got the broiled platter one time instead of the. I always worry about like just cooked fish.
Sure. Yeah.
So I usually get it fried.
Okay.
I said Gil Martin actually taught me. He said, get the broiled platter, black and broiled.
Yeah.
Best
amazing
fresh fish ever, right? Their fish house,
their Cajun seasoning. I just bought 5 tubs.
Nice.
I mean, just great stuff.
Well, okay. Go ahead.
Phoenix, Raul and Teresa's, great Mexican place.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, really, really good. California, I mean, obviously In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah,
I got In-N-Out. Yep,
great fast food place. I didn't really have
Shakes
too much for Atlanta, Bristol, Martinsville, and Richmond.
Right.
Talladega, Cuda Brown's. The best
Cooter
wings,
Brown.
Best wings, ribs.
Is that in like
it's a smoke?
It's in that college area.
I know what you're talking about.
It's just a little wood shack, basically.
It's pretty small place, 2-story.
Yeah.
Okay.
And everything is smoked. You guys, I actually went the first time with you guys.
Yeah. The wings are
phenomenal.
Yeah, smoked wings with a kind of a sugary base dry mouth. Just smell in your mouth.
Okay, great. Go ahead. No, I
liked it that he brought it out.
Yeah. You're the first person to do this, but go ahead.
Yeah, I love food.
Well, it's about food.
No, I get it.
I'm actually aspiring smoker myself. A big green egg that I got from Wassey's Meat Market.
Which
down
is in the picture we used for the promo.
Yeah, it was, yep. And they just try to do it as much as I can.
Where else you got?
Kansas, I got Garozo's.
Garozo's?
You've been there with
Lizard
Sinks.
It's very nice.
That's a barbecue town. You found an Italian there. That's okay. That's good.
It's crazy how you
get out. That's all right. Go ahead.
It's good.
Perfect. I love it.
Darlington really didn't have a whole lot for Darlington. Dover, JP on the Wharf.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And then Stones.
Stones.
I think I've been to Stones with...
may have been there once or twice.
Yeah, I think I've been there with our buddy, the...
What's the place that's right on the jetty there, and they close half of it off for the NASCAR people?
The one north of the track, right?
Okay. I don't know, but it's on the jetty. What he's talking about is seafood.
No, yeah, that's all seafood. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they like put you on a big picnic table, and everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay, for everyone.
Yeah. obviously Charlotte. Just so many places good.
Texas, what do you have for Texas?
Texas, babes.
Chicken
fried chicken or chicken fried steak.
Right. Anything fried.
Bocano Antonio's, the Buffalo Chicken Stromboli. Phenomenal.
Okay.
Loudoun is my mom and dad's camper because I don't go anywhere. I stay with them. I land. I go straight to the camper. Perfect. They have just an abundance of food.
Perfect. So actually in Loudoun, there's a place across from the hotel I stayed at called Fratillo's.
Okay.
We stay in... I can't think of it. The RCR guys have...
Okay.
There's an Italian place called Fratillo's that... They have,
I got really Dover confused with Sam. Sambo's, what was it?
Sambo's.
That's Dover. Sorry, I forgot.
Yep.
Yeah, that place.
Yeah, it is good.
Crab cakes there? What else?
Nice penmanship.
Watkins Glen, I got Captain Morgan's. They have a raspberry habanero wing.
Okay.
That is just, you almost hate it the next day.
Right?
But it is good. It is good.
There's a lot of things I hate the next day when I'm on the road.
Yeah. Michigan is Cleary's Pub. They have this mesquite steak wrap that is just phenomenal.
This is awesome information you guys are getting here.
Yeah.
You've never done this before.
Indy, there was a hamburger joint there that the first time I had peanut butter and jalapenos on a hamburger, and it was great. But also, they have some great steakhouses. Shula's.
Yep.
St. Elmo's and Roost Chris. St. Elmo's has the shrimp cocktail that is about 90%
fries
your brain.
Yes.
Fries your brain.
So, you know, the other thing you have to do in Indy, and I'll tell you this because you're a food guy, is you have to get a deep-fried pork tenderloin sandwich. Have you ever had one there?
I never have.
So what they do is they take a pork tenderloin, they hammer it flat, it gets to be about this big, and they deep-fry it.
Right.
It's an Indy staple.
Okay.
Nice. It's a deep fried pork tenderloin sandwich.
So we turned to the Food Network tonight, but go ahead.
In the one weekend in Indy, we ate at Shula's Thursday night. I had a 12-ounce steak. Or no, that was a 48-ounce steak. And then the next night I went to St. Elmo's, had a 12-ounce steak, and then the next night was Roost Chris and another 12-ounce steak. I had to hit all three. It was like the trifecta.
I will say St. Elmo's first all day long.
Oh, yeah. St. Elmo's.
You can sit at the bar there, and the whole racing world walks right.
Absolutely.
The whole racing world,
Yeah,
that's nice.
A lot of times we just go to St. Elmo's. If we can't get a dinner there, we go there, have a shrimp cocktail at the bar, and then go eat somewhere else.
Right, and you can go next door to
Izzy's.
It's the same cook.
But it's something about sitting at St. Elmo's.
It's a genre.
Yeah.
It's
the ambiance.
The ambiance.
Big words tonight.
Blah, blah, blah.
Okay, so all the things you've done.
Is ambiance a big word?
I know you're just being warned. all the things you've done, if there's one thing that you can say, this is my biggest thing I've done, the one achievement you took out of it, or you were part of. And I'm putting that in the spot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's so many memories of different wins with different drivers and different driving personalities and styles. There's probably too much to list.
Right.
But I'd say our recent championships with Joey and Brad, I mean, those were a highlight. Those were basically my only championships.
Being a highlight, I'll take
it. I said highlights.
But using my hearing.
You hear it already well, buddy. But, I mean, so you have two cup championships. Who we have? Billy Wilburn last week. He said he has
his no-cup.
No-cup wins.
Really?
No, he's got wins. He doesn't have a
championship. Right.
No championship.
But there's guys that have been in the sport that have never been to Victory Lane and Cup. And I'm like, I was spoiled rotten with, you know, DEI and RCR when they were there. But, I mean, you listen to these guys, it's like, geez, you almost feel sort of guilty, but it's like, it's just circumstances.
Yeah. And, I mean, it took me 18 years.
18 years to get your cup.
And it's cool working at Penske because every win they get a banner and they hang it up.
Right.
And when we first moved into that Panasonic building, the one that we're in right now, we've had to consolidate some of our win banners each year.
Right.
Yeah.
And basically I was there.
It's like a million square foot and they're running out of room
for the wins.
I was there. I missed the first, I think, three wins with Ryan Newman in the Busch car, but from 2006 when we moved into that building on, looking at every banner, I was there at every win. Not at every win, like IndyCar and all
but part of it.
Was there in the building. I mean, I've worked in the carbon fiber shop, working on the IndyCar stuff, so I've Got a lot of...
so you've done some IndyCar.
Yeah,
oh,
just, cool. Just in the carbon fiber right. shop. That's I've good. Never actually been to an Indy race, right. which I'm excited when we go to Indy doing the doubleheader.
Oh, that's right.
Them.
It's going to be huge. Yeah, nice. That so, race, that's going to be like... I think that's going to be one of the coolest things because for the first time ever, it's like Indy, NASCAR, NASCAR, Indy.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think if the garages, if one pass works another, you're going to have a lot of this. Yeah. A lot of them overlooking at your stuff, you looking at theirs. And I think it's an awesome, awesome thing. They finally... got it together, so let's make a weekend.
I'm glad they did. I'm really glad
we needed that.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's good absolutely. For everybody, especially after we went
El Capitan knows how to do
oh, yeah. Stuff. That's why it's called the Captain.
That's right.
Yeah, Roger Penske.
That's right.
One thing, of all the stuff you've done, is there one thing you still want to do? One race, one victory? What do you
think? Yeah.
You
got a 500 win?
Not me personally, but when Ryan Newman won the 500, we finished second with Kurt Busch. We were pushing him across the line.
Okay, yeah.
Does that lay on your mind a little bit?
Yeah,
500?
Absolutely. Okay. Just, I mean, I wish we could have got down and got him. I mean, obviously, this last race was a little bit of a heartbreaker, running second and crashing there in the last lap. But, I mean, there's a few of them. It seems like when I get a win, it's a... I've already won there before.
Yeah.
Michigan, I've got a few of them. Pocono, I've got a few of them. So there's a lot of tracks that I would like to win at.
So I don't have a Sonoma win.
Yeah, I won there with Kurt.
You know what I mean? I there's like three that I don't have. You know, I always think that those are the ones I think about, and it's like
I'd have to count up what tracks I haven't won.
Now with COVID, we're never going to race at Sonoma again.
What do you got the rings, right?
Yeah.
So you must have like a good. Size collection of
yeah, a fairly good collection. With here recently, when they offer us a ring, I've been getting the mini trophies because I do have.
Really, like so
rings.
Many fingers, right?
Yeah.
And your wife was mad because your jewelry collection was getting better than hers. Sorry, she's like, you have more stuff than I do. And people love to see yours, and I don't care about mine.
But they've started offering the mini trophies. Yeah, so we get the mini
good.
Trophies for everything, which is cool.
Very
looks,
cool.
It looks good on the mic. My man cave is my garage. The house is.
Sure.
So you take care of the house. I'm going to decorate the garage.
Yeah, you built a big old nice Richard house garage thing.
Yeah.
Richard Coleman.
Yep.
Who's he?
Worked with him in racing. He worked for Rash for a lot. Okay. He owns a landscaping.
Okay,
company.
Got it.
Yep.
He says you're one of the best guys in the garage area. Always been a pleasure to interact with him.
Yeah.
Wow, nobody's giving you a bunch of. Sometimes give you crap.
Not too many people have complaints.
No, that's good. He's good. I mean, I
life
just got
is
to
good,
know.
Man. Life is good.
Yeah, it is.
That's one thing. I like to try and make friends. That's why I love this job. I love traveling. I've been doing it for 22 years. Mm-hmm. I love traveling because you never know who you're going to meet.
Exactly.
I could drive from North Carolina to California and probably never even have to get a hotel room because I could just call, hey, we're passing through. And I guarantee they'd be like, oh, stay with us. Come have a beer and let us cook dinner for you. And that's what I love about the sport. And that's what I miss now with not having fans at the racetrack. Little kids.
I usually get, hey, we'll both sleep on the porch.
No, but I mean, it's like the whole thing. Like, you make all these great friends. And, you know, I made them, and you miss them because, you know, they were all part of it. Like, I had friends that would park on the hills up at Watkins.
It's like William Francis. So, you know, he was actually did some NASCAR stuff with us. And, you know.
Yeah, him. Yeah.
And he would come to the races, and he's a law enforcement officer.
Okay.
And now we can't see him, you know. And I see his stuff on Facebook, and he's a great guy, just an awesome guy. But we can't interact anymore because of I mean, I can't even go to racetrack. So,
all right. So
it kind of sucks.
We poked a bear. Your wife says, "Ha ha, yes, I need a new band." I got you covered. I recommend Kiss. Great, fun in concert, a lot of album goes
through. She's a band.
She's a band. I recommend Kiss. You know, that's my fave. Hey, all right, we're going to wrap up here. Thank you so much for coming on. Your stories are great. And by the way, doing the food rundown, nobody's ever done that. That is amazing. Thanks for being a new sponsor.
I want to ask him, because we're not done, can we do this again?
Absolutely.
I think we could. Yeah, we could do a recap.
I would like to do this again with, I'd like to have KB Belmont.
Do it. We have room for two. We've had two before.
Two or three.
Let's do it. We can expand it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Get you guys maybe arguing with each other.
We'll just sit back and drink beer.
Yeah.
These guys. It's our show, but you guys have at it. By the way, we have hats and t-shirts and everything for sale. Get those in. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. Yeah. And thanks for rambling.
We had fun there.
Coming on board there. Should we say it?
Should we say it?
Good night, Dick.
Good night, Dick.
Thanks, everybody. See you. Take care of our sponsors. Thank you very much.
Wow. Hey, another great show. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate it. We do this every Tuesday night. And Warren, I think the guests we've had have been fantastic.
Phenomenal.
And the people that are following us, we appreciate it. We're reaching 42,000 people a month. Can you believe that? And we appreciate you watching. And
we're having fun. Hope everybody else enjoys it.
That's it. This is just a fun show. Bucket of beer. Guys sitting around talking about it. So keep tuning in. We appreciate it. Check out our store and everything. But we appreciate you people. And we will see you next week. Right, my friend?
Yes, sir.
All right. See you next week.